Now, back to Lansing's only live afternoon talk show, Ebling and You, on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in from the Capital Area Soccer League and the Capital Area Classic, our good friend Scott Dane. Hello, Scott.
Hi, Jack. How are you?
Just fine. How many soccer players do we have in mid-Michigan this weekend?
Well, our tournament has 250 teams, which is about 4,000 soccer players.
About 4,000, did you say?
4,000, yep.
Where do you put them all?
We're at five different locations. We're at the Catapult Soccer Complex in Lansing, the East Lansing Soccer Complex. We're at the Holt 9th grade campus, and the city of Lansing is very generous and helps us out. And we put fields at Sycamore Park, in the baseball diamond there, just by Potter Park, and then we put a field in each of the outfields at Geyer Park in North Lansing.
Where do all these kids stay? Imagine this is a tremendous economic boom for mid-Michigan.
Yeah, it's really big. We work with a great organization called PSE, and they help us with all our hotel accommodations, and they coordinate all of it with all the local hotels. I think we book just about every hotel room in Lansing for the weekend.
Well, you have to coordinate that, I guess, with Michigan State football games. You wouldn't have this availability if the Spartans were home this weekend, right?
That's absolutely right. We actually move our dates year by year depending on the home football schedule. We're fortunate enough that MSU is actually playing in at Ford Field, so there's not a hotel room need for the Spartans this weekend.
All right. I'm sure that if you have not figured this out, Brendan Dwyer and the good folks at the Sports Authority have. What is the economic impact of this event?
Last year, 2 years ago, we did an informal study, and last year we did just a slightly more formal survey, and the Sports Authority estimates that we're a $2 million impact on the city.
$2 million?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And how many communities, Lansing size, have anything similar to this?
Canton runs a tournament that's slightly larger than ours, and they're over Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And Novi also runs a tournament in May where they have larger numbers than we do. But other than that, we are, in previous years, we've been the third largest tournament in Michigan.
All right. In terms of catching on now and what a tournament like this has meant, and what soccer play among young people has meant, have you been able to track this? Have you been able to follow the impact?
We don't really see, like, we don't track individual players or teams and see how a tournament necessarily impacts young people. But there's certainly plenty of studies that indicate that athletics as a whole, and soccer maybe more specifically for females, leads to huge opportunities to further athletic endeavors in college. And so I think you're seeing a boom in the college soccer scene. Many colleges, including Michigan State, having beautiful stadiums to play in and drawing big crowds. And I think that the number of athletic scholarships available for women's college soccer is just growing.
All right, we're talking about the Capital Area Classic, and soccer fans and those who are just interested in and watching young people compete with a lot of enthusiasm are going to be able to see this all over the area this weekend. Where are the teams come from? What's the furthest team away from mid-Michigan?
I'm not sure what the furthest is, but we draw all of our teams this year come from within the state. So we're drawing from Metro Detroit and Metro Grand Rapids both heavily. And then, of course, we have the quite a few local teams, quite a few Castle teams that also participate in the tournament because they get this great opportunity to play teams that have come from the east side of the state and the west side of the state. And they use this as an opportunity to play teams that they normally wouldn't.
All right. In terms of what this has meant to some of the other teams that have done very well and players who have gone on, have gotten scholarships to Division I programs, have they had their experience in the Capital Area Classic that has been directly attributable to this?
I'm not sure if we're directly attributable to kids that get to play in college, but we certainly have had a lot of teams, and we get a lot of younger teams, 9-10-year-olds, and a lot of those players will grow and develop into great soccer players that go on to play in bigger and better tournaments than the Capillary Classic in terms of competition and college exposure. And those players, we've had many that have probably gained some of their early tournament experience in our tournament.
Scott, in your mind, why has soccer caught on among so many young people? Does it have to do with the expense of playing the sport? Does it have to do with the relative safety compared to some other games? Or is it just that the soccer boom worldwide is finally starting to reach America?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. I certainly believe that soccer is a game that just about anyone can play, and especially at a young age. And there doesn't take much more than being able to run around a field to participate in the game. And so I think there's this wide appeal to young people, to kids, to participate in the game because they can have an immediate impact. I also think soccer's done a great job, U.S. Youth Soccer specifically, the national organization, in creating rules and regulations that make the game easy and more fun for kids. For example, Jack, I know if you watch the World Cup this summer, you see 11v11 on the field. There's 11 players, 10 outfield players, and a goalkeeper on the field at any one time. But at our youngest age group that we host in the tournament, which is U9 and U10, those teams actually play 6-on-6 on a smaller field. And I think that makes the game, it doesn't make the game too big for the kids. It doesn't let kids get lost just to be a number on the field. Instead, they are all involved actively in the game and all get to be an active participant with the ball and therefore gain a greater understanding and appreciation for the game and an excitement that keeps them involved for years.
In terms of World Cup fever and what we went through, in this country this summer with the United States advancing to the medal round, and I'd never seen anything quite like that before. Is there a carryover effect? Can you measure that in any way?
I think there's definitely a carryover. I think maybe not specifically to our tournament. I think our tournament has drawn big numbers, and we'll draw big numbers among the traditional soccer pundits of Michigan, if you will, the people who have been playing for years and played before this huge World Cup fever this summer. But I think what you'll see is some recreational soccer programs, maybe local parks and rec programs with younger kids that will start to see an increase because of the World Cup fever that was experienced throughout the country. And I think that those programs are going to see some sort of bump because whether the parents were watching or older brothers or sisters, or you just see the commercials and the kid will say, you know what, I want to play soccer too when they're 4 and 5 years old, and then that's when the phone call or gets made to the local parks and rec to sign up there.
How many volunteers do you have to make something like this go with 4,000 players?
Yeah, you'd be surprised at how few volunteers we end up with. So we are getting great help this year. Jackson National Life, with their program called Jackson Involved, is providing some volunteers. And then we have about 50 other volunteers that have helped us year in and year out and continue to help us. They're helping us again this year. We're at the Radisson Hotel right now doing registration. I've got some college kids that are helping us. We have some parents of soccer players. Some of our board members are here, and then just some people who just like to be involved are here as well, and giving their time to help this great cause.
Well, we wish you a lot of luck. We know that this has become a September institution in mid-Michigan, and you've had great success with it. Obviously, the economic impact is appreciated. A lot of people who, in fact, I think I'm just getting a message now from someone who had played in this event over the years. So, wish you a lot of luck this weekend. Have a very safe, profitable tournament, and we'll see you soon.
Great. Thanks, Jack. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right. We'll be back. We're going to talk with Tom Crawford, co-host of the Jack and Tom Show, coming up next on 1320 WILS.